Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, when you hear such phrases as this, critical race theory, or political correctness, or cancel culture, what ideology and political system comes to your mind? When you hear the words Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Secular Democrats of America, People for the American Way, same question. What ideology or political system comes to your mind? Well, hello and welcome to our biweekly constitutional and historical update program here on Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohrer, and I'm going to be joined again today by co-host Dr. Gary Dahl, and in just a moment by constitutional attorney, historian, author, and speaker David New. Now, if to my questions that I just posed, the ideology of atheism comes to mind, for example, or Marxism or socialism as the political system comes to your mind, then I would say you'd be pretty much right on track. For today's program, I've chosen the title, Counterfeit Christianity and the Rise of Marxism in America. Or I'm going to phrase it another way. Communism in America is back. And since the founding of the Frankfurt Institute in Germany in the Weimar Republic during that time period between World War I and World War II, the Frankfurt Institute, founded for the advancement of social theory and critical philosophy, was brought to America in the early 20th century, around that same time, on the invitation of Sigmund Freud. And in combination with the teachings of Hegel's, Marx, and then Freud, Immanuel Kant, and some others, a plan was set in motion to undermine the Judeo-Christian heritage of the United States, targeting, they did, clearly they stated, the institutions of education and entertainment, as well as the organized church. And this atheistic ideology has now come full bloom in our time, where it now dominates the media and education and political science, and I'm going to suggest even inside the church. This is what's given rise to the wide acceptance of socialism by a near majority of Americans, including many who profess to be spiritual or religious. And knowing how to respond to what is, in effect, a total lie, a counterfeit Christianity, I would suggest, that requires understanding the history underlying socialism, and particularly the mind of Karl Marx, which then leads to an understanding of socialism and the seducing spirit of communism. In today's program, in segment two, with our guest David New, we're going to consider the history of the man Marx, and his fundamental goals of establishing a society with no God, no religion, and no private property. In segment three, we're going to define the differences between Marxism, socialism, and communism, and why the statement of communism being a counterfeit Christianity is truly a valid statement. And then in segment four, we're going to identify certain basic biblical truth principles to help inoculate us to the deceptions of Marxist thought. All of that and more here today on Stand in the Gap Today. Well, Gary, I want to go to you in the first part of this program because several months ago, you and I, along with Dr. George Barna, presented research that indicated that by a 94% margin, Americans have indeed developed a new religion, a piece of Christianity, a piece of mysticism, a piece of Marxism, and in effect, developed a new religion. George has given this new religion, as you recall, the name of syncretism. And this last Friday, you and I again here had researcher Leo Homan with us, and our theme then was the cult of COVID, the new global religion. And Gary, we talked about in these days the rise of deception. Jesus talks about it. The Apostle Paul tells the church in Thessalonica, beware of the mystery of lawlessness that will arise, and again, going into a false religion. So here's my question I want to pose to you right now. Take just a few moments, if you don't mind, and lay out a bit of an apologetic. Obviously, it'll have to be brief, but you can do it, about what the Bible says about truth and counterfeits. And the goal of Satan to present deceptive counterfeits, as he is down through the time ages, but now manifested in the form of what we're going to talk about today, Marxism, socialism, and communism. Can you put something together there?
But I think, first of all, Sam, we need to take into consideration that the devil himself is the number one counterfeiter. He's always tried to counterfeit God since the days of the Garden of Eden up until where we are today. The Bible teaches us that Satan is a liar. He is a deceiver. And one of the main things he tries to do is to carry out his evil plans by counterfeiting the good things of God. For instance, take some of these things into consideration. First of all, God has sent prophets to proclaim his word. Well, Satan sends false prophets. God gives us teachers to teach his word. Satan sends false teachers. Jesus is the light of the world. Satan appears as the angel of light. God is a triune being, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet the Bible teaches us that in the days of the Revelation, the days of the tribulation, that Satan will be a triune manifestation with Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Another thing, Satan takes God's word and twists it to serve his purposes. This is interesting to consider. Jesus is called the Lion of Judah, but Satan is compared to as a roaring lion. And I mean, we can go on and on and on. And the thing that we need to understand is that anything that God does, Satan tries to counterfeit it, whether it's in religion or any other aspect of life, talking about morality or whatever the case is. And the reason is that he hates truth. Satan hates truth. And so he will try to counterfeit the working and the ways of God by getting people to misunderstand the reality of what truth is according to Scripture. We need to keep in mind that true Christianity is Scripture alone. And yet, as we draw closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible reminds us that people will be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Therefore, Sam, I think it's very important in recognizing the counterfeiting work of Satan every day, in so many areas of life, personal life, church life, religious life, political life, etc. Satan will do everything that he can to counterfeit the work of God. And therefore, it behooves us to diligently read and study God's word and know the word of God and the truth of God so well that when we hear or see something that doesn't line up with the Bible, we'll know it instantly, and we will be able to make the right choice to keep us in line with the truth of God. Satan deceives. He's the number one counterfeiter. And the more we know the word of God, the more we will be able to identify what he does.
Gary, excellent, and a lot of tremendous information there for all of our listeners. I hope that you got that. And think of that foundation of truth and counterfeit. And obviously, counterfeits are slick. You easily missed unless you know the truth. And we're going to start laying this out now as we walk into this person of Karl Marx himself, who he is as a man, and why he really and what he attacked, what his fundamental attack was against God. We'll lay that out as we build out this program now.
Hi there. I'm a mom of two and a homeschool mom. I use BGU Press materials for our children because it supports what we believe, it offers a biblical worldview, academic consistency, and encourages my kids to do their own critical thinking. BGU Press content is supported by the latest educational technology, and this is a huge plus for us. Our household income is modest, so we can't afford to send our kids to a local Christian school, which is why we're excited BGU Press textbooks, teacher's manuals, and instructional videos are flexible and also really academically sound. We tailor the materials to each child so they can move through their courses at a speed that keeps them engaged and challenged. Each course perfectly fits all their needs, and they're making really good grades. Using BJU Press materials also gives time for involvement in our local homeschool association sports and fine arts programs. Find out more by going to bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
For years, faithful Christians formed nonprofit foundations or trusts to preserve their ability to generously give to their favorite causes or ministries, even after their death. The problem? Professional managers, pressure from left-wing agendas, and even family members with opposing views hijacked the original donor intent. This is sad, but true. But this subversion of purpose can be prevented. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I'm glad to recommend Capstone Legacy Foundation in Wayne, Pennsylvania, an experienced and capable Christian community foundation. Established to help you set up a ministry, a giving structure guaranteed not to be hijacked, or a place you can donate cash or non-cash assets like stocks, bonds, or property, Capstone's designed to help you achieve immediate tax savings and give you needed time to decide how to prayerfully allocate your giving. Contact Capstone at 610-688-8890 or visit them at capstonelegacy.org.
Did God use evolution to create us? This is Ken Ham inviting you to visit our full-size Noah's Ark in Northern Kentucky. In a recent video, famous Christian apologist William Lane Craig said Genesis was mytho-history. He said God created Adam and Eve from, yes, a group of pre-existing hominids. But this doesn't match with what Scripture teaches. You see, Genesis clearly teaches that God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, not a pre-existing hominid. And after sin, God tells Adam that he was made from dust, and to dust he would return. Adam didn't return to an ape-like creature because he wasn't taken from one. He returned to dust because he was taken from dust. And both the Old and New Testaments say Eve was created from Adam, not from an ape woman.
Find answers to your questions when you visit our website at AnswersRadio.com and plan your visit to the Ark Encounter, where children are free this year, at AnswersRadio.com.
Here's Twyla Braze with today's Health Freedom Minute.
Long-haul COVID results from damage when the body goes into overdrive to attack the COVID-19 virus. Dr. Daryl DeMello from India warns against allowing COVID to fester, allowing the virus to replicate by sending patients home and telling them to come back if they get breathless. He says it's not the virus that kills the patient, it's the body that kills the patient. It's the super overdrive of the immune response system which hits the cytokine storm, which sets up clotting, end quote. He says patients must be treated upfront if the management is done early and aggressively, says Dr. Mobeen Saeed. Long-haul COVID doesn't happen. But even if there's damage, Dr. DeMello has eliminated much of the damage if it's within a few months of having the disease. So don't wait at the beginning or after it's over. Start treatment right away.
Help us secure health freedom for all. Visit cchfreedom.org. That's cchfreedom.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, welcome back to Stand in the Gap. Today, I'm Sam Rohr, accompanied by Gary Dahl, and our special guest today on our bi-weekly constitutional historical or history update, as we call it, is attorney and author and historian David New. Our theme for today is this: Counterfeit Christianity and the Rise of Marxism in America. Or you could put it another way, is communism in America back? However you want to look at it. But here's where we're going, because it's just different ways of looking at a phenomenon that is existing. But going back to Scripture, Gary just gave a really good apologetic on the concept of truth and counterfeit. All the way through Scripture, though in a biblical worldview perspective, which is what we present on this program, there are certain key components. God as creator and author of truth, as an example, the designer of life and all of creation. God as God desires to be worshiped and created within every person a natural void created by the sin. That void, he didn't create that void, but that void was created by the sin of Adam and the natural sin which then every person born thereafter has. And that natural barrier is a barrier to the worship of God. But God, through Jesus Christ, made a way for a spiritually dead person to be restored to himself in a spiritual relationship, able to commune and live in a way defined as true religion. And within God's plan as creator and designer of mankind, God established certain key truths, such as the sacredness of all life, private property, and other basic God-given rights. Our founders, Declaration of Independence signers, as an example, recognized these, and they took their thought and what they described in the preamble of that document. They took it right off the pages of Scripture. And as this holy experiment, as William Penn here in Pennsylvania, where I'm located, then called this broad concept, this experiment in living has been attacked. But this concept of self-government under God, and that's not our focus today, but it does involve the broader aspect, that concept has been under attack from the beginning. Gary talked about it a little bit in the last segment. But it really came under strategic assault by such men as Karl Marx, which then brings us to the discussion of what we're talking about today. And with that, let me welcome in right now David New. David, thanks for being with us.
Blessings to you and to each person listening to us today.
David, it's a great subject, and I'm coming to you right now on this aspect as an historian and putting on that hat as we talk about this thing, which is an ideology. It's also a political system. But start right in here. Tell us a little bit about the man, Karl Marx, and perhaps who had the greatest influence on him.
Well, Karl Marx was born in 1818. He was born in Germany. His father was a very successful lawyer. Karl Marx comes from a Jewish family, and he ended up with a doctorate degree from the University of Jena in Germany in 1841. I had two Marxist professors when I went to college at Humboldt State University in Arcata, California. One professor was a Chinese communist, and he used to love to write on the blackboard from each according to his ability to each according to his need, which is one of their communist slogans. And the other one came from a communist from Argentina. He was a big Allende fan. And so this is the background of communism, and on the top 10, 15 books of all the world, and that bottom five group would be the Communist Manifesto in terms of its importance in world history, because it's estimated that somewhere around 200 million people have died as a result of this ungodly theory. And it very much is ungodly because there are three verses that you should get out in your Bible to understand communism. You want to get out Genesis 1:26 and Genesis 1:27 and Genesis 1:28. In Genesis 1:26, Marxism attacks the idea of God. There is no God. In Genesis 1:27, Marxism attacks the idea of the family. We need to get rid of the family. And in Genesis 1:28, Marxist ideology attacks private property. We need to get rid of private property. That private property is equivalent in Marxism what sin is in Christianity.
Okay, all right. I didn't think that you were going to quit that quickly, David, but you did. And so let me just come in here. You know, in light of what you just said there, going back to Genesis chapter 1, it really appears as though Karl Marx has taken on Moses, the lawgiver, when it comes to the biblical worldview that we talk about so many, many times on this particular program. And I wonder if you might be able to expand upon that just a little bit in light of what, for instance, that Moses gave to us even in the Ten Commandments and how that compares to some of the teaching of Karl Marx. How has Karl Marx directly, based upon what you've just said, expand upon that a little bit, how has Karl Marx directly counterfeited the teaching of Scripture that has even captured the thought of so many Christians today? Because, David, I've even heard Christians say over the years that communism isn't that bad. How is it that communism contradicts the teaching of the Word of God?
Well, in Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Well, according to Karl Marx, that's not true. Man is not made in the image of God because there is no God. Marxists are the ultimate Marxism teaches that a human being is a materialistic being. The Marxist ideology says that unless you could see it and hear it and taste it and touch it and feel it, it does not exist. So man is not a spiritual person. The Bible teaches that man has a spiritual nature. Man is not a spirit like an angel, but he has a spirit, and he is made in the image of God. And Marxism says, no, it's just strictly materialism. So he is a materialistic personality. And in Marxist ideology, religion is the opium of the people. Religion is used to control people, to keep them submissive to the capitalist oppressors.
So, as you're saying, and I'm going to go back to this, and so as people listen to this, they think Marxism, Genesis 1:26, he attacked directly the concept of God. And a Marxist mentality says no God. And from that we say, that's why I call it an atheistic ideology. So it's no God. Well, if you get rid of no God, as you said, Genesis 1:27, it sets up the family. A Marxist mentality says no God, then I'm going to say no family. And then, as you said, comes up with the concept in Genesis 1:28 of no private property. Now, that fundamental underpinning that Karl Marx laid out, comment on this a little bit, because I don't know whether you may not have the answer to this, but as you said, Karl Marx was a Jew. Jewish people generally know Judeo-Christian thought, and so for to go after these basic things is to go after the very essence of who he was as a person. Are you able to comment on what inputs he had into his life that caused him to turn on these fundamental points of, we'd say, Old Testament thought?
Difficult to know exactly what caused him to become an atheist, but he did become an atheist very, very early in his life. It's not something that he became when he was an adult. He really was an atheist in the beginning. And his parents were also, they were forced into Christian conversion if they wanted to have a more successful economic future. And these things could have had a role in some way. It's difficult to know for sure. But if you look at Genesis 1:27, here's the family. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female. And according to Marxian ideology, the family is a capitalistic form of oppression because the parents are exploiting children for capitalistic purposes. Therefore, we have to get rid of the family as well. And then, of course, the ultimate sin of all is private property. And then in verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish in the sea. This gives man, according to God, private property. We hold our private property as trustees and as stewards for God, and we are to use our private property to bring glory to God. But in the Marxian ideology, it's the exact opposite. We're not bringing glory to God. We're bringing glory to the capitalist oppressors of the world. And so in these three verses, you have the summary of Marxism. Genesis 1:26, no God. 27, no family. 28, no private property.
And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you got that in a simplest form, because if you capture that, you capture the essence of what Marxism is, why it is antithetical to truth and to Christianity, why it attacks Christianity, and from it then comes socialism and communism. And in the next segment, we'll take and connect these together and actually establish why it is that communism in a developed form is such a counterfeit to Christianity.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com. The United States boasts over 4 million miles of highways and public roads. Without accurate maps, though, and road signs, these roads are confusing. The road of life's no different. Thankfully, the Bible gives us needed markers and guidelines in the form of biblical commands and principles. Properly applying them is the difference between success and confusion when it comes to impacting our culture for Christ and being effective salt and light. For a gift of any amount to Stand in the Gap, we'll send you an attractive Stand in the Gap signpost with 4 simple questions and corresponding biblical principles about the toughest issues of the day, helping you to successfully travel the road of life. Use as a bookmark in your Bible, affixed to your refrigerator, or give to a friend. Yours for a gift of any amount to Stand in the Gap. Partner with us right now at standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com.
Join a network of culture shapers. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Everything we do at the Colson Center, including The Point and Breakpoint Commentaries and the Breakpoint Podcast, is designed to offer clarity on the culture from a Christian worldview. But the goal isn't just to think clearly, it's also to live redemptively. And if you're ready for this kind of deep dive into Christian worldview, check out our Colson Fellows program. Colson Fellows sign up for 9 months of intense training in worldview and culture. The program's world-class faculty, readings, webinars, and residencies equip Christians to confidently approach culture with biblical clarity. Colson Fellows also leave the program with a 3-year plan for action and ministries, and they take their Christian worldview training to state legislatures, boardrooms, schools, medical research, prisons, racial reconciliation efforts, in other words, every area of life. And that's the vision. Christian leaders trained and eager to apply biblical truth planted everywhere across the culture. Learn more at ColsonFellows.org. I'm John Stone Street.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, before I get back into the program, because I know you're waiting anxiously to find out, okay, what are those actual counterfeits? How do we, apply it to communism as a counterfeit Christianity? I think you'll find these points we're going to share in just a moment quite interesting. But I just got 2 letters then. I want to share just a little bit of both of them. They were both written to Dear Sam and Isaac. And the reason that is, if you've listened to it, Isaac Crockett is a co-host on the program, but he and I also host together. We are the team for our Stand in the Gap TV program. Now, here's one comment that one person wrote in. She said, I'm sure I have written this before. She said, but I want to tell you how unique I feel your program is. And she's actually referring to both this program here and the TV program. She said, I have never heard of your guests. In most cases, I have not heard of many of your guests that you bring forward. She said, but they are so wonderful. And then here's another one just came to both of us, and this is Linda and Joe is their name. They happen to be from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. She said, just wanted to say thanks for what you do and for bringing us honest and biblical answers to today's cultural problems. She said, "We are so blessed to have both of you," and this was in this case addressed to me and Isaac, "to have both of you stand up for America and Jesus. We watch you every Tuesday evening and sometimes Sunday afternoon on the local TV station that carries our program, our TV program, and on the radio station on WDAC. We're praying for both of you and the entire American Pastors Network," and then they closed a wonderful, generous gift. But I do that, and I share that with you, all of you, because if that reflects your thinking, as it does for so many, that's what so many say, would you pray for us intently? Would you consider partnering with us financially so that we can not only sustain but grow the increase in communication of this program and TV program? And no matter where you are listening across the country, many areas, you can also listen, watch the TV program on a local cable network or other, in addition to the radio, or you can always go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, and pick up and listen to all the programs in archive form. Okay, with that, I need to get going because we've got a lot to cover here, but I wanted to get that in. From the first pages of Genesis, where we've been talking already, where Satan questioned the authority of God and positioned himself as a counterfeit object of worship, as Gary defined in segment one. The world, the flesh, and the devil have continually sought to wage war against God, against moral truth, and to present deceptive alternatives to God and truth and worship. And if it weren't for the enormous eternal impact on the future of each person's soul, yours and mine, we could easily dismiss all that we see and just say it's not that important, but it is. And when we consider that in God's design, the ultimate prize of value is each person's eternal soul for whom Jesus died, it helps us to understand then why Jesus told his disciples to beware, don't be deceived. That's why Jesus told the true pastors and shepherds to warn of the prowling wolf in the streets, and that the devil, like Gary said, is a lion walking about seeking whom he would like to devour. And what he wants to devour? He wants to take our soul. So to what degree is a godless Marxism and a godless communism literally designed by the devil as a counterfeit to Christianity? So David, let me come back to you because I want to make this connection here. So however you want to do this, if you want to walk right into it now, you can. But actually do this first. Separate it this way. I want you to define Marxism. We've laid down the basis of Marx when he lived, but make the connection between Marxism, socialism, and communism, and then we'll make the compare-contrast in just a moment.
Well, under Marxist ideology, the history of mankind is going through stages. And the end stages under Marxist ideology, it goes from capitalism to socialism, then to communism. So a lot of people don't realize that capitalism is an essential stage in Marxist ideology. He hates capitalism, but he also, in a different way, likes it a lot. Because capitalism, because of the profit motive, makes lots and lots of cars and TVs and food and homes. In other words, the thing that Marxist ideology needs from capitalism is to create lots and lots of wealth. It's done at the abuse of the poor. It's done at the abuse of the people. But it is an essential stage in Marxist ideology. But capitalism is strictly a transitional stage next to socialism. And now under socialism, the capitalist is gone. And now the socialist state comes into existence, and it now has control over the material wealth of the country. Now, socialism, under pure Marxist ideology, also is strictly a transitional stage. It's not the end. It's just a stage to the final, and that's communism. So what is the difference between socialism and communism? And this confuses a lot of people. They think there is a difference. Well, I suppose for some socialists, they want to stop at socialism. They don't want to go into communism. But in terms of Marxian definition of socialism and communism, socialism is strictly transitory. The difference between the two is very simple. Under socialism, you have the state, like the Soviet Union. Under communism, as Frederick Engels said, the state withers away. What does that mean? It means eventually socialism becomes so good that the state is no longer needed to guide and govern society. And so the state just disappears and communism comes into existence. So in my opinion, the difference between the two is only exists on paper. There never has been a stateless society, and communism requires that the state disappears. The best way to think of it is communism is heaven on earth, and that is the superpower of communism. Communism is the ultimate imitation of Christianity. That's what it's about. That's where it gets its real power. It's an alternative to Christianity. Basically, communism is Christianity secularized, or you can think of it as the devil's Christianity, because it's definitely attacking, right in Genesis chapter 1, the teachings of God. It's the ultimate meaning, or one of the major meanings of the parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13:29. You can't tell the difference between the wheat and the tares, or the weeds. The natural man, from the natural man's point of view, he sees Christianity and communism as both trying to do the exact same thing. One does it with God, and the other one does it without God. One does it with you dying, going to heaven, and the other one says, you don't need to die. You can have your heaven on this side. So communism, its real power, its dark power, the true evilness of communism is its ability to imitate Christianity, to be an imitation Christianity.
Well, I'll tell you what, David, I think that what you just said in the last two or three minutes is really a mouthful, but really expresses the whole concept of communism versus Christianity. And folks, I trust that you picked that up. In fact, I would encourage you to go back and listen to this radio program again just for that particular segment. But David, you talk about how that communism is a counterfeit to Christianity, and maybe has set itself up against Christianity. You know, when we read the scripture, we realize that Satan has the desire to set himself up as God. We see that in his own fall, as it's described there in Isaiah chapter 14. We see it brought out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as well as in the book of the Revelation. So do you see this whole concept of what Karl Marx taught was, number one, an effort that he himself had to set himself up as God in society? And, of course, we can see where that led. But would you say that he was trying to do that? And secondly, if Christianity, if communism is a counterfeit Christianity, then what can we do to strengthen the whole concept of Christianity and show the fallacies of communism to those around us? Because, you know, I have found down through the years that there have been some Christians who have actually said that communism is not that bad.
And David, before, because we're about out of time, hold that answer to that question, because it's going to fit very well into our last segment, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to talk here in just a moment. I'm going to ask Gary, I'm going to ask David, so we'll go continue on that. But it's the concept of embracing the truth, all right? If you're going to keep communism and this heaven on earth mentality from permeating your mind and the church, which I'm going to suggest it has permeated the church in America. How do you antidote against that? What do you do? We're going to ask David. I'm going to ask Gary. Give us some points. How we can take and embrace truth to protect us against the deception of what we're talking about today, this counterfeit Christianity called communism.
Listeners all across America are thanking God for Stand in the Gap today. Listen to what Carol, a faithful partner from Southeast Pennsylvania, says about Stand in the Gap today.
Hello, my name is Carol, a regular and faithful listener of Stand in the Gap Today, a daily one-hour program heard Monday through Friday. The program hosts talk to interesting and fascinating guests who will discuss some of the most important issues of our day and time from a constitutional and biblical worldview. I hope you will join me for Stand in the Gap Today, a daily one-hour program heard Monday through Friday. You'll be so glad you did, and remember, the American Pastors Network covets your prayers and financial support.
Thanks, Carol. Your prayer and financial support of this program has helped us to become the main source of trustworthy news analysis for so many people. If you're listening to me right now and you've never contacted us like Carol did, would you do so now? Partner with us in prayer and finances by going to standinthegapradio.com. And if you're benefiting from this program, tell a friend. Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
This is Tim Barton from Wall Builders with another moment from American history. Founding fathers John Adams and Thomas Jefferson originally worked closely together, but later became ardent opponents. This troubled Dr. Benjamin Rush, a signer of the Declaration, who knew both of them very well. In the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:18 tells us that God has given each of us the ministry of reconciliation. Dr. Rush believed this and set out to bring the two back together. It took a while, but Adams and Jefferson once again became close friends. And looking back on his role in helping bring about this reconciliation, Dr. Rush stated, "It will give me pleasure as long as I live to reflect that I have been in any degree instrumental in effecting this reunion of two souls destined to be dear to each other and motivated with the same dispositions to serve their country, though in different ways." For more information about Dr. Benjamin Rush and his other remarkable achievements, go to wallbuilders.com.
Father's Day is a great time to consider God's role as father. As a father of six and grandfather of 14, I've thought much about my role, and this I've learned. The more we men emulate God, the Heavenly Father, the better the husband and father will be. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another Stand in the Gap Minute. As our fatherhood model, God's the wise father. He's the great counselor and comforter, just, kind, merciful, and patient. He's the instructor, guide, protector, and shield. He firmly disciplines, but does so in love. He loves so much, he gave his son the perfect sacrifice to save our souls. He's the humble servant, yet he's the greatest king. He's the model in every way of what an earthly father should be. Fathers, grandfathers, how much do you resemble God the Father in your home? Fathers, join with us at Stand in the Gap Radio and TV and be God's face in the home. Stand with us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
In the book of John, in chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, Scripture in other places, throughout all of it, makes it clear that all mankind are trapped in the prison of sin, but can be set free through the embracing of truth through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what that verse means. And all through Scripture, we're given example after example of how Satan masqueraded, sometimes as an angel of light. We're told how that Satan himself knows the Scripture, and he can quote it. But there's a big difference. He obviously rejects the authority of Scripture. You know, the ability to know about the truth, but reject the power of the truth, the person of the truth, Jesus Christ, is very sadly at the heart of deception. It's a little bit of truth and a lot of error. You know, so how can, in a practical way, you and I, as we are talking about this subject today that is impacting all of us in this country, because what we're talking about is not just an ideology, it is an ideology that has bearing on our eternal soul, but it also brings with it a political system, a way to run government, which means authority, and because it relates directly to God, you either have our form of government, which is based on Judeo-Christian thought, where God is truth, and therefore the head and the head of authority, or you take the godless, the atheistic view, Marxism, socialism, and its father form, communism, and replace God with man or the state or whatever. It's the common deception of all false religions. And all anti-God ideologies will all have these same things within them. So let's come back and just for some responses here. David, Gary posed a question to you before he left, and I want to just pose it to you again. In this perspective, but from a professional perspective, you are an attorney, you are an author, you are a speaker, you are you're in this space of being able to look back on history, all those things. So from an educator's perspective, an average person's perspective, a professional perspective, what can you say, points of action perhaps, about the practical aspect of embracing truth? How can our listeners listening right now grab a hold of some things relative to truth that will help them in these days to guard and defend against this very deceptive march of communism that's coming our way, masquerading actually as Christianity? What do you say?
There is a reason some Christians, I'm sad to say, are interested or impressed by communism. There's a reason. The fundamentals of communism is fundamentally opposed to one religion in particular, and that is Christianity, because they both are competing for the same audience. One author has described it this way. The outline of communist Marxist ideology is the Book of Revelation. In the Book of Revelation, what do we find? We find the seal judgments, we find the trumpet judgments, we find the bowl judgments, which means that the bad gets worse and worse and worse, and they get more wicked, but the good get better and better and better, until in the Book of Revelation, there is a giant cataclysmic event in Revelation 19 with the return of Jesus, and then comes heavenly bliss. That is the outline for Marxist ideology. The capitalist gets worse and worse and more oppressive, and then finally there's a cataclysmic event of the rise of the communist state, and then comes heavenly bliss. You see, Marxism is directly an imitator, not of Islam, not of Buddhism, not of any of these other religions. It's a direct assault on Christianity. And the solution to defeating Marxists and communism is the Word of God. We are, shall we say, natural enemies.
All right. Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't get any more simple than that. The Word of God. Know the Word of God. Embrace the Word of God. Now, Gary, I want to go to you because it's a natural segue. One of the position that God established and gave the command to make sure that what David just said and the Word of God was known and practiced It was the pulpit. The pulpits were commanded to preach the word, and the whole counsel of God, not a part of it, the whole counsel. All right, so here's my question to you. Provide some basics, perhaps, for the pastor and the God-fearing person who we know right now, sadly, the church in America has been just invaded by concepts of Marxism and deceptive thought, and many in the pew are therefore seduced as well. Gary, what would you lay down as a little bit of a guideline here?
Sam, it goes back to the fact that we need to know the truth, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not trying to make this simplistic, but I'm trying to make it practical. You know, back in Psalm 119 and verse 30, the psalmist David said, I have chosen the way of truth. Choosing truth is a choice. That might be redundant, but it's important that when we are as pastors in the pulpit or people in the pew searching for the way to live, we need to make certain that every decision that we make is based upon the truth of the Word of God. As I said in the last segment when I posed that question to Dave, I think that Karl Marx set himself up as God. He was being used to the devil. And just look what has taken place over the last 150 years. Communism has ruined the lives of many, many people. And Satan comes not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. And so we can see how communism has been used by Satan as the anti-truth. And so it's important that pastors preach the whole counsel of God. We talk about that often. It's important that people in the pew get to know WDTBS. What does the Bible say? So that when anything counterfeit, whether it's communism or anything else comes along, we will be able to identify the fact that it is wrong. You know, I understand, and I can't necessarily prove this, but I've been told this many times over again, that one of the things that a teller is taught in a bank, and that is the teller is taught to really get to know the true dollar bill, how it feels, what it looks like, so that whenever a counterfeit comes along, they will be able to detect it. We are living in a day and age, Sam, when it's important that we focus on the truth of God, get to know it, choose it, as David said in Psalm 119, apply it to our lives so that when anything counterfeit comes our way, we will be able to detect it and run from it and stand on the truth of God's word. The church is the pillar and the ground of truth. We must get to know it and proclaim it and live it in every aspect of life.
Well, Gary, you laid out an outline. I don't have enough time to go over it, but thank you so much for what that is. Ladies and gentlemen, as you look at these things you've heard today, remember what Gary just said, a choice. We all as individuals choose to know more about God. We choose the truth, and then the Holy Spirit then makes it available to us and opens our eyes, or we choose a counterfeit to Christ. And so whether it is communism, whether it is COVID, whether it is corruption, or whether it is cultural change, the truth of God's word speaks to it all. But if we don't choose to go there first, we will be deceived. And that's exactly how communism and its tenets have penetrated this nation and made us so susceptible right now to the complete loss of our freedom. Let's go back. Let's choose Christ and choose the truth. Thanks for being with us today. It's been a pleasure to have you aboard. Join Gary and I tomorrow. We'll have Dr. George Barna with us, and we'll talk more about unfolding research, again about the church.
If you like today's program, tell a friend. You'll also want to hear Stand in the Gap Weekend and watch the nationally syndicated Stand in the Gap TV program. We present the news of the day truthfully, carefully, and consistently from a biblical worldview and constitutional perspective. If you're hungry for the truth, visit standinthegapmedia.org to find all our programs and the stations that carry them. While you're there, be sure to download our free app and support this ministry with your best financial gift. Then join us again right here Monday through Friday for another program of Stand in the Gap Today.